Right. Well, yes, sure. Can we have a roving mic just down in the second row here?
Hello. Yes. Going back quite a bit to your cascade,
Yeah.
the top of which is rotenone, which is an insecticide, pesticide. I speak from experience because I was dealing with these when I was 16 to 18 years of age. I wonder if, when on the day of diagnosis, the GP or the consultant doesn't seem to ask the right questions before he says, "Yes, you've got Parkinson's," one of which would be, "Have you dealt with pesticides in the past? How long ago?" And it would give some kind of pathway for them to begin to work on.
Yeah, I mean, the difficulty with it is that pesticides seem like a very likely, are in some way implicated in Parkinson's disease. The difficulty with all studies of this nature is recall bias. So we think pesticides may be important. So, of course, if you ask people, most people will remember, they'll say, "Yes, I work with pesticides," or, "I was sprayed by insecticides. I remember once getting stuck in my greenhouse with insecticides." And so people will remember these events because they think they're significant, and they may well be significant. Of course, it may be that it was gastroenteritis that you had 25 years ago that caused the bowel to misbehave, changed the bugs in it, caused a bit of inflammation, started alpha-synuclein aggregating, and that caused your disease, but you don't remember that. So one of the ways to try and get around it is that what people are trying to do is they're trying to say, why don't we look at populations of people who are exposed to insecticides a lot? So in France, they're trying to do a study with people who work in vineyards because they often get exposed to insecticides. I mean, if they find an association, what's going to happen on lawsuits, I hate to think. And I have a small collaboration with a group in Sri Lanka, and I had a we they sent me a grant, their grant proposal yesterday to look at, and that's exactly what they're looking at. They're looking at people, agricultural workers versus people who don't work in agriculture, to see whether there's an increased incidence of Parkinson's disease. The difficulty with it is that most of us are exposed to insecticide or pesticides to some extent. People who work on the land, on agriculture, may be rather different genetically from people who don't. So it's difficult to dissect. But it's certainly, I think, an area that requires more intensive investigation.
Just one last question, lady in the front, Roger.
Can I ask you how advanced we are in Scotland?
How advanced you are in Scotland?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a tricky question. I think probably diplomatic, I'd say very. I mean, I think you raise a very important point, actually, which is that one of the lessons I've learned from TransEuro, which has now been running for 2.5 years, is that in a European community where everything is supposed to be equal across countries, it is not that way at all. So that if you find an embryonic stem cell that works, you may find that if you live in Italy or you live in Spain, you will not be allowed to have it. You may, for religious reasons. You may find you're not allowed to have it in Germany for cultural reasons. And so there may be huge ramifications for some of the therapies that we find, that there is an inequality in access to them across not only different parts of the country, but between different countries.
One very last question. Yes, lady in the front.
I saw a program on the television recently about freezing the cryogenics of the fetal stem cells. Is this a road that we should be thinking of for our own children, you know, our children's children?
So, is this to do with umbilical cord cells?
Yeah.
Yeah, my advice on that is don't. Because I think the evidence that you can turn those cells into something useful is not clear. If they were offering it as a free service, I would say it was probably worthwhile doing. But the trouble is, most of these people who are offering you to store cells, cryopreserve things, they all come with a cost. And the cost is a lot. And my own advice is, don't waste your money on it. Save your money. Have a nice holiday. Get some good physio. Do things which you enjoy doing. Because if there is a cell-based therapy that is going to work, you shouldn't have to pay for it to begin with. Any cell-based therapy that comes to clinic should be part of a clinical trial, and clinical trials should be properly funded. So you shouldn't have to pay for any of this. And I realize it's easy for me to say, but for people who are desperate to try these therapies, £10,000, £20,000 seems like nothing compared to the the sort of thought that you may be cured. But the reality is you will just be relieved of your money and you won't be relieved of any of your symptoms.
Well, Roger, on that note, thank you very much indeed. I must apologise to the audience. You had to stare at that thing the whole time. It's bad enough seeing me.